Welcome to your own health and fitness. I'm health integration specialist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly to discuss self-care and integrated health. After giving birth, new mothers frequently experience fatigue and back pain and weakness. Should women accept this as the price they pay for the miracle of creating a new life? As the sciences of exercise and physical therapy have become more sophisticated, it should be possible to condition a body before and after pregnancy, not only to retain youthful functioning and looks, but to protect women from a gradual loss of function that may accompany the process of aging. Today, we'll explore the possibilities in developing and maintaining a youthful, vigorously healthy body before, during, and after pregnancy with an eye to the specifics of what makes a woman fully fit to give birth and care for a new baby. My guest is dancer and exercise trainer Helene Byrne, who's come and is sitting live with me in the studio. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Helene Byrne is a master teacher of dance, fitness, alignment, Pilates-based exercise, and injury rehabilitation. She holds a dance degree from the Boston Conservatory and is certified in personal training from the American Council on Exercise and the Health and Fitness Institute at the California State University at Hayward. Ms. Byrne studied alignment and, I'm not sure I can pronounce this word, idiokinesis?
That's right.
Oh, gosh. A mind-body technique of neuromuscular repatterning with André Bernard, the foremost expert in the field, and participated in a Pilates instruction training program at Body Kinetics in San Francisco. She's a member of the American College of Sports Medicine and the Aerobic and Fitness Association of America, and has over 15 years by now experience in both traditional and non-traditional fitness training techniques and philosophies. Helene offers a unique perspective in fitness reconditioning after pregnancy. The birth of her son stimulated her exploration of the biomechanical stresses of pregnancy and the development of this new system of exercises. She produces and teaches a popular post-pregnancy exercise workshop. So welcome.
Well, thank you.
You betcha. Mm-hmm. After you gave birth to your son, you were really surprised to find that even though you were in exceptional shape as a dancer before giving birth, there were new and specific challenges ahead as you attempted to restore support and strength to your structure. What happened in the wake of pregnancy and birth that makes restoring function like starting over?
Well, what I discovered in my body is that I couldn't do anything anymore, and nothing worked. And I also just felt terrible. My body just felt terrible. All these aches and pains that I had never had before. And I needed to really step back and say, what is going on? I started, you know, where we all kind of start, by doing abdominal exercises. And here am I, I'm doing crunches, mm-hmm. and nothing is happening, and feeling worse and worse. So I remember one day I got down on the floor and said, okay, what is really going on with my body? And as if I was a new client, tested myself in these basic muscular functioning tests, mm-hmm. and discovered, and this is a complete shocker, that I was really needing to go back to the absolute basic exercises of recreating dynamic stability in my body again.
Which is really the basis, not only for Pilates, but for dancers. Even before the Pilates mm-hmm. tables were invented, dancers have to develop a core strength. This is something I've talked a lot on the show about, how important this is to start from the inside out. What's interesting, though, is that you yourself even expected, as a dancer
right.
and as a fitness trainer, to come out of pregnancy, since you were in such great shape
right.
during pregnancy, and just need to do what these other pregnancy, post-pregnancy classes suggest, which is, like you said, you know. So what don't they do in post-pregnancy classes? What is it that people are not grokking? Because you had to figure, you kind of went heads up.
But right.
But you partially didn't expect the change because that's not what you were hearing.
Right. And I expected that I would have a high fitness level coming out of pregnancy, and I really didn't. And the reason it's a little bit complicated. There are many physiological changes that happen after pregnancy, Some of them very obvious. You lose your abdominal wall, you...
Why is that? I don't think... See, now, I was... When I read your materials, I was a little bit... I don't know why it didn't occur to me, but it's really obvious if you think about it. What is it that's going on?
Well, inside your muscle cell, you have two contractile proteins called actin and myosin. And
you're really getting down to breast. I was just going to say the muscles get... Go ahead.
Well, this is why you have trouble afterwards. And what happens is that when you do a contraction, the actin is supposed to jump out, hook onto the myosin, and pull it towards the center.
Right.
And when your muscles are so stretched out, and you get huge by the end of pregnancy, what happens is you give birth, and then you have nothing stretching your muscles out from the inside out, and they're hanging out there. And the actin and the myosin are so far apart that they can't effectively grab on, and you don't really have an effective contraction just within the muscle cell itself. And so, of course, that makes retraining difficult.
Well, that's why the crunches don't work.
That's one of the reasons, right, why the crunches don't work. And also, why some people have trouble with the Kegel exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That is the contraction of the perineum. And some women give up. They try the Kegels, and they're not getting a good action. They're not what
squeezed,
they expect.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling that squeeze. And it's kind of, oh, well, I can't really do them, and they kind of give up.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is get over the hump, focus your mind, focus your energy, and believe that you're doing a great contraction, even though you might not be.
Okay, so that's an important piece of information, though.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is that, because there's this period of time during which everything is just, like you said, the actin and the myelin, or I can't wait, I should be able to do that as well as you do. Sort of waving at each other
right.
from across the room,
Right, right.
But what you're saying is that there's more they're more likely to move closer together if you're actually performing some of these movements?
Right, and that is true. If you go back to what's called muscle specificity theory, which is basically you get better at what you practice. So in the beginning, mm-hmm. postpartum, there is this kind of hump you have to get over just to shorten those tissues enough so that you really can get a good, effective contraction in your muscle.
But the other thing that you discovered, which was interesting, was what happened to your back.
That's right. And this is something that the alignment changes, those are some of the things that are a lot more subtle in the body. And what happens is as your baby grows and gets heavier and heavier, your abdomen protrudes out more. What happens is that your hips counterbalance that weight and move backwards. So in other words, your pubic bone moves back and right, and your tailbone starts to stick out.
You get sway back.
And it's right, the typical sway back position. Now that in and of itself is not a balanced position in the spine. So then what happens is the rest of the spine wants to find its state of equilibrium on top of this new pelvis. So truly, the whole spine changes its alignment.
All the curves change.
All the curves change, right. So that's kind of the core effect of the alignment changes. When you give birth, you don't have that weight hanging out in front of you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have the changes of the spine. And you have to think of muscles as being like pulley systems,
mm-hmm.
and that when one side of the pulley system gets too stretched out, what happens on the other side of the pulley system are those muscle groups get too tight.
Okay, and this is why we're constantly nagging people to do stomach exercises for their back, is because opposing front and back muscles need to be equally strong.
Right, exactly, right. And so when you start looking at rehabilitating the post-pregnancy client, just doing abs is not going to work because you've got all these other muscles, particularly the front of the chest, the pectorals,
mm-hmm.
the upper back,
mm-hmm.
the upper trapezius muscle, all the muscles that connect into the lumbar fascia,
mm-hmm.
the lower back gets mm-hmm. really tight, and the hamstring gets really
mm-hmm.
tight.
Yeah, because everything's connected.
Right. Everything mm-hmm. is connected. So then what happens is you can do all the abs you want, but those muscles are just going to pull you back into the undesirable alignment.
You know what just occurred to me? It didn't occur to me when I was reading the stuff you gave me to read, but as you're talking, it occurred to me that this would also be a problem for somebody who had, whether it was quickly or slowly, had been heavy all their lives or had gotten mm-hmm. very heavy in adulthood and then started to get into shape, that training or rehabilitating someone who has been fairly overweight or obese is going to require similar kinds of realignment problems
right.
because the body keeps trying to readjust to whatever you hand it to do.
Right, and not only with that population, but there are a lot of women who have a lordotic posture, sway back posture, simply because everywhere we look, every time we open up a magazine, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a Victoria's Secret model,
mm-mm.
but all you see are sway backs. You never see a neutral pelvis, and sometimes you don't even see them in the fitness magazines, which is pretty depressing.
Well, people forget to even discuss it.
Neutral.
The other thing that's interesting here, that's also true here, and would also be something you wouldn't see in, shall we say, traditional post-pregnancy classes, is an assessment of structure before you develop
right.
an exercise program. Because, a woman is going to head into pregnancy with a different body to start out with, too. So the interesting thing, the thing that really motivated you is here you were in absolutely phenomenal shape with all this dynamic core strength and
right.
all this grace, and you're not large, too. You're kind of a compact, strong dancer body. And you were talking about how when your pelvis and your stomach muscles are very strong, you will carry the baby. You don't get wide. You get
right.
Right?
The
so,
classic dancer pregnancy.
Well, and also weightlifters would do that too.
Right. Actually, anybody who's in good condition, you tend to carry your pregnancy straight out the front.
Mm-hmm.
Your oblique muscles stay fairly strong.
Side of your stomach.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The side muscles that go mm-hmm. on a diagonal. So what happens is you don't really move out to the side. You just go straight out the front.
All right. Well, what we're going to do, I think, is go over different specific areas, and then we'll
mm-hmm.
get more into what happens in the pelvis and what happens at different trimesters. But I think you wanted to start by talking about what might be realistic fitness goals during pregnancy, because we both discussed, I've trained pregnant women as well, and you know, there are sometimes women go, oh my God, I'm pregnant, and they come to you, or they're already 3 months into the pregnancy, and they want to get into shape. So why don't you address that?
Right. Well, what we need to talk about are the guidelines that have been developed by the American College of Obstetricians.
That's right. The muscles.
And basically, what's good is that the guidelines have been updated. They used to be very rigid. They have been updated, which is nice. And basically, in general, what they say is you can maintain whatever fitness level you went into. So they're now beginning to recognize that there are female athletes and female dancers out there that can, in fact, keep a really high fitness level through all three trimesters. But if you're like most people and you're maybe a little bit active or not as active as you might like to be, you have to realize that pregnancy is not a time where you can go from a low fitness level to a super high, because, you know, you've only got 9 months and there's only so much you can do within that period.
The other thing is I think that there's a naivete about, you know, I talk a lot on the show when I talk about exercise. I talk about form following function, which
mm-hmm.
is something I learned when I was a designer a million years ago. Which still is still true. You don't say, okay, here's a picture of Cindy Crawford. I so want to look like her.
Right.
You don't want to do that. What you want to do is think about what you're going to do with your body. And in this case, what you're going to do is grow a baby.
Right.
And then what's the best way of training the body to do that functionally well? Because function should really be king.
Right.
Let me just ID the show. This is your own health and fitness. I'm health integrationist Elena Berman, and I have in the studio with me trainer and dancer Helene Byrne, who has a very interesting style of training for women before, during, and after pregnancy. Very unusual style that, as I'm saying, you know, sort of really focuses on function and works from the inside out. We'll be talking for this hour. I should mention that if people want to be able to reach Helene, I guess your email is probably one of the ways they can do it. You want to give that out now, and we'll also give it out later.
Right. You can email me at www.hburn. So
well, that's a website.
Sorry.
Did you want to give a website or an email?
I thought that was my email address.
No, your email address is going to be something like hburn.
Right, hburn.
At some kind of server.
Okay. So, quit the WW part.
Right. Yeah.
I'm new at this whole
the computer
tech
isn't it?
Business.
That's right, you've been busy doing strengthening training.
Yeah.
Things.
Anyways, my email address is my first initial H with my last name Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, dash BFIT, B-E-F-I-T, at excite.com.
And hburn BFIT is all one word.
There's actually a dash.
Okay.
Hburn dash BFIT.
Okay.
And BFIT is one word.
At excite.com.
Right.
There you have it.
Okay.
All right, so let's go back to what the guidelines tell us and what Helene Byrne has discovered on her own about the guidelines and what you feel is more appropriate.
Right. Well, let's talk about the trimesters since that's...
Well, and also, you know what we might do, just to get this out of the way, is here's this very understudied science, which is the science of... Well, first of all, here's this very understudied group, which is health, women's health. Then we take a very understudied subgroup, which is, that's all right, dear, go sit down because of your condition. When now women are exercising through the 80s, there were magazines coming out. It's like, yeah, you know, do it, exercise.
Right.
Okay, but then we have the obstetrics and the gynecologists saying, uh-oh. So what are the old myth stuff that hasn't been proven? What's that? You want to talk about core temperature? What are they worried about?
Well,
one
of the biggest worries was that somehow exercise causes low birth weight babies.
Right.
And it's not true. However, if you are moderately exercising during pregnancy, you will tend to have a leaner baby.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes, so actually you and your baby will be leaner.
And there's nothing wrong with that, is
right.
there?
No, it's actually desirable.
Okay.
You want to build, you know, baby tissue, not necessarily...
Muscles.
Right, muscles and bones and organs and all that kind of good stuff. And actually, some of the higher weight babies, then you start getting into... that gestational diabetes thing,
and
which is,
how?
Boy, and is that a serious condition?
Oh, boy.
So there's something where exercise can actually avoid.
Well, and then this goes back to something that we talk about a lot on the show, which is insulin resistance. And I'm rather guessing that if you've got an insulin resistant mother, a mother who has such a high carbohydrate diet and a low level of fitness that she is unable at this point to even get any benefits from the insulin signal and is just packing the weight on and the blood sugars are going up,
right.
that the baby is marinating in those juices
you
and is
it.
Going to inherit that same trait and end up being this chubby ball that looks all very cute, but maybe is very... Because you do see just gestational... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you talk now.
So that is something that has... We now know... that there is no correlation with having a low risk or having a lower birth weight baby with exercise. And in fact, the opposite is true. So that's a great one. It also used to be that there used to be a cap of 140 beats per minute for your heart rate. Now, that might be appropriate for some people, but there are a lot of us out there that if we're exercising at 140 beats per minute, feel like we're not doing very much and that we need to, if you're in good physical condition, you know, you can work out higher than that if that's appropriate for your body.
Yeah, the real question would be here, what I just sense that they may be thinking of is if you are deconditioned, if you're not someone who's used to exercising, if you start doing something like, if you're very deconditioned, you run up a flight of stairs, your heart rate is going to go up even higher than 140
right.
counts. So one of the things that they may be addressing is that if you get an extremely high mm-hmm. heart rate in response to exercise, that may signal the fact that you're deconditioned and that you don't,
right.
as we said before, you don't want to say, oh, I'm pregnant, so now I need to get into shape.
Right.
You need to sort of, so if you are in shape, that's probably not important. You can go ahead and condition at the same level, but if you're not in shape, you may want to be more moderate. The other thing is what we talked about, which is that if the heavier you get, the less inclined you are to go do something
right.
that makes you.
Right. The other worry about the higher heart rate was actually they were worried about a raise in core temperature and how that might negatively affect the baby in your body. And that is something that also has pretty much, I won't say gone by the wayside, but it's not nearly as much of a concern. If you work out and you use perceived exertion rather than some theoretical number that you come up with out of some book that tells you, 220 minus
your
age.
Heart rate, yeah, again.
Right. If you stick with perceived exertion, then you'll be fine.
In other words, if you exercise at a level that feels like you're doing something, but you're not,
right.
not doing something murderous.
Right. And the words that are used are somewhat difficult
mm-hmm.
or moderately difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a person that's new to exercise and you're deciding, okay, I'm really going to start making healthful changes in my life, this is the time to do it, then if you're getting on the treadmill or the Stairmaster or whatever you're doing for your aerobic conditioning or fitness walking, you want to work at a pace that's somewhat difficult for your body. If you're more of a jock
mm-hmm.
and you've been out there, you've been running 5 miles a day and doing this and that and playing soccer and
mm-hmm.
what have you,
mm-hmm.
and you can continue on that level and say, yes, well, this still feels moderately difficult
mm-hmm.
to run 5 miles, then you're still in a safe zone
mm-hmm.
in your own body.
So common sense.
Right.
What about the recent study that came out in the Journal of the College of Sports Medicine, about weight training?
Oh, that was very interesting. A small study, unfortunately, but at least pregnant women are beginning to be studied,
mm-hmm.
so this is good. They took a group of women who were in their third trimester, so late.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a group that has been basically not studied at all. Put them on a standard beginning level weight training. So that means you're doing weights that you can perform 12 repetitions of, maintain your good form. And so they did this, I think it was about 12 exercises general, for all over the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what they discovered at the end of the study is that the pregnant women made the exact same health and fitness gains as you would expect from a non-pregnant client.
Who was starting out.
Who was just starting out. So the same gains were made.
Way to go, girl.
You bet. And I'm a big believer in doing resistance training,
mm-hmm.
particularly during pregnancy.
Me too.
Because we all want to get back into shape fast. Or at least have the potential to do that after pregnancy. And the more muscle you hold in your body, the larger your metabolism is. And therefore, when it comes time for your body to say, okay, I can empty the pantry, I don't need all these excess calories anymore, you're able to do it more effectively by simply having a bigger engine and burning more efficiently.
Yeah, it also, if going back to the issue of insulin resistance
mm-hmm.
and gestational diabetes and family histories and not having a diabetic baby, the more muscle tissue you have, the more muscle size, the more active tissue that you have, the less insulin resistance you're going
right.
to have, the more sensitive to insulin you're
right.
going to be. So your body will just understand and utilize food in an entirely different way with extra muscle. Always try to
right.
get women to see that if they would just... it's like, please get down off that Stairmaster and spend the second half hour doing some weight training. You'll see much better results.
Right. Yeah. And the Stairmaster, too, is it's a machine with such a small range of motion.
It's merciless.
Too. Yeah, it is.
And then people drape themselves over
right,
it, too.
Right. You get that little hip swing.
Yeah,
that's a cute one, too. Yeah. Better, I think, I'm more of a treadmill. If you're going to pick a machine, I'm a little more... heading towards treadmill.
I agree.
also for women to get that impact.
Mm-hmm.
Stairmaster, you stay on the balls of your feet pretty much, or the center of your foot. You don't really impact. And all of us are concerned about bone, and we want as much of it as possible. And the way you create that signal in your body is the heel strike, and you get that force. So choosing, if you have a choice in your gym, start moving towards that treadmill so that you can get the heel strike.
That's interesting that that's what you've been reading. My understanding also was, for a while they were saying, can't use swimming as a way to build bone because of blah, blah, blah. There's no gravity. You have to have gravity. And in fact, later someone said, no, wait a minute, there's resistance. The water creates resistance. So my impression is that as long as you're pushing against resistance, like even if someone asked me about an elliptical cycle,
mm-hmm.
and I said, well, if you're doing it at a level where you're really pushing against the pedals and you're not just spinning, you should be getting enough, some bone regeneration from that. It's still giving you a signal that you're pushing, because it's the same thing at weight resistance is, you're pushing against a... Yeah?
Right. But when you look at... If you're fit enough to get up to a jog on the treadmill, that's actually the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because then your body weight is leaving the floor and you're impacting your body weight.
But that would imply that you only get bone development from doing cardiovascular activities with a heel strike.
No.
And actually weight training also
training, yes.
Yeah.
Weight training, definitely.
Elderly people really get tremendous. Because they can't do the bouncy heel strike stuff.
And it's not, and that's true. Mm. Treadmill is not for everyone.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm just saying also the studies on elderly adults showing the bone growth from the... Anyway, we're going to have to take a break in a second. But, yeah, that they regroup bone just from doing weight resistance training and even using machines, which you and I are not... Those are not our preferred methods. You and I both like free weights. All right. Well, listen, you're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I have in the studio with me Helene Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. Who is a trainer and a dancer, and who is talking to us today about training the body for full function and restoration of function, and so you could look good too, but also for function before, during, and after pregnancy. We've been talking about the guidelines and all that. When we come back from our little break here, we're going to talk about the trimesters and what's appropriate to do and what to watch out for during those periods and what the challenges are. And then, of course, we'll discuss what happens after birth. So it's Your Own Health and Fitness, 30-second break, and we'll be right back.
Be kind to your parents, though they don't deserve this life. Just keep in mind, though it sounds odd, I know, most parents once were children long ago.
Welcome back. I hope you didn't hear me muttering in the background. Did you turn me on before? You didn't, did you? Oh, good. I don't think I said anything naughty, did I? This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman. I have a live guest today. It's trainer and dancer Helene Byrne. And a reminder, if you miss part of today's show and you want to own your very own cassette copy of the show, I do not have transcripts available, unfortunately, but I do have tapes. And you need information on how to order tapes, you can call me at 24 hours a day at 707-773-4727, or you can go to my website. You delete www and type in members.aol.com/YOHAF, YOHAF, Your Own Health and Fitness. And Helene has a email address, and it is H Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, dash B, B-E, fit, F-I-T, one word, befit, at excite.com. So it's good. My gray cells are working today. Did you want to give out a phone number, Helene?
Yeah, and if you want to reach me by phone, I'm in the 510 area code, and it's 530-5710.
Do that one more time.
In the 510 area code, 530 5710.
Okay, now, as promised, what we're going to do now is go through the individual trimesters and talk about what's important to think about. So I'm going to let you sort of lead the discussion. Tell us about the first trimester.
Well, the primary barrier to fitness in the first trimester is feeling nauseous.
Oh, dear.
And that can really make women feel, oh, I can't do anything. I'm feeling too sick. The interesting thing about the nausea is that one of the great cures of that is a fitness walk.
Really?
Get your body moving.
Oh, get the blood into your muscles and out of your stomach.
That you start just moving your blood a little more. And, of course, it also changes your psychological perspective, too, that, well, you might be feeling a little nauseous still, but you know what? It's not that bad because you're exercising and you're feeling great because you're exercising.
Now, you know, what I always tell people about walks is that people have a tendency to do this thing where they can't walk for 10 minutes. They have to walk for half an hour or 40 minutes or something because that's what they all say in the magazines.
Right.
And what I tell people is any amount, just start with any amount, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, not to make an excuse. If they go, oh my God, I'm working, I can't.
Right. It's easy to fit in a 10-minute walk.
Mm-hmm. Just head out the door.
Right, you just head out the door, and there you go. And you want to walk briskly, you know, not a slow.
Although
I'm happy
if they even go slow.
You That's
know, just
true.
To get people started.
Just to move, to start
yes.
moving your body.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. As you go on, another thing, important thing to realize during pregnancy, especially as you go through your trimesters, is the body is less able to dissipate heat.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
And you are a hotter person because you've got a little baby building factory.
Even in the first trimester?
It's funny. I felt it definitely in my first trimester. It's more a little more coming on in the second.
And your metabolism is really cooking,
I would think. Your metabolism is going, right. You're building a baby factory, so you're busy. And I felt almost allergic to direct sunlight. When I was,
really?
Yeah.
The hormones were changing.
I would get so hot that I just couldn't handle it. So that's something that's very important to watch out for, is that you don't get overheated during your pregnancy when you exercise. You wear layers that you can strip off. That you hydrate even more than you've done before. So that means you're never without your water bottle and you're always filling it and you're always drinking out of it. And you need to be aware of environmental factors.
I would say so.
We are so lucky in Northern California. We don't have to worry about that so much. But if you live in a place with either severe winters or severe summers, it's hard to exercise outside. And if it's super hot out and humid, if you live someplace where it's like that, you probably shouldn't be exercising outdoors. Or if you do, you're getting up first thing in the morning before it's too hot, or in the evening when it's begun to cool down.
What if you make sure that you're doing a really balanced mineral supplementation so you're getting enough sodium and enough potassium balance? Does that help?
It does help, but what most women find is that they just get so hot.
Okay.
They get too hot, and it's very obvious because you become immediately fatigued. And certainly if you are pregnant and exercising and you feel like, oh, this isn't fun anymore, then it probably isn't, and you need, that's your signal to stop. Even if you were somebody who was out there, you know, jogging 5 miles a day, you might find halfway through, you know what, jogging is too hard.
That's probably part of the reason that pregnant women swim.
Right. Swimming is a great, especially in the last half of pregnancy, swimming is a great exercise. It takes the stresses off your joints. When you go into your second trimester, your baby is now big enough to really start to have some weight in your body. And the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommend not exercising on your back. And the problem with that is that the weight of the baby can press on what's called the vena cava, and that's kind of like your main return line of your blood up to the heart. And some, but not all women, experience this problem where if they're exercising on their back, they will suddenly become very lightheaded, dizzy, and nauseous, like instantaneously. Boom.
So you know it if it's a problem, right?
You know
away.
It. You know it if it's a problem. Now, here's where the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists simply say, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you read the sports literature, you find out that it only affects a small subgroup of women.
That's my experience.
So if you have some, whether it's whether you're a Pilates person that happens after your back, or you have certain floor work exercises that you
or
love.
Or you're doing a bench press, you know.
Right. That
you
in the gym, too.
You have to sometimes help them off the bench afterwards.
Right.
Is the only thing. It's a little harder to get up
right.
afterwards.
It's a little harder to get up. But that's a problem which is immediately recognizable. And then you know, okay, these exercises are not for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never experience that, then it's not a problem for your body.
And you and I
go
were talking
ahead.
About the fact that it might... I'm sorry, I went right over the end of your sentence. It might be interesting to try things in an incline posture during that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Incline is no problem at all.
Okay.
Right. Also, some contraindicated exercises, and this is really obvious, but we're going to say it anyways, is that you don't want to exercise in any way that would put you at risk of physical trauma. So, you know, skydiving is definitely out. Downhill skiing is probably out, too.
No bungee jumping.
Right. Yeah. You know, if you're going to be biking, get into the parks, get off the city streets, that kind of thing. So you got to use your common sense there. Anything where you might be hit in the stomach.
Or fall.
Or get knocked over.
It's not a good time to start
right.
inline skate, you know, blade,
right.
blading,
exactly.
rollerblading.
So those are such some common sense things that you want to do. However, you might be a great blader. And
there's no reason to stop if
right,
you've
there's
done
absolutely
it.
No reason to stop. It's funny, the issue of falling, that tends to come up in the last trimester of pregnancy, I think is really overstated. You've got 9 months of that baby growing little by little, and your body is constantly changing and adapting. Personally, I've never run into anybody that's ever fallen during pregnancy, mm-hmm. and I never fell.
Mm-hmm.
And even when dancing, I knew that my center of gravity was changing, but it was not a problem. And so if you're at a high fitness level and maybe doing something like yoga, and doing maybe a lot of one-legged balances, or you're doing inline skating, or something that requires a lot of balance, you have the technical skills to pretty much carry that through. So balance is not quite the issue that the OBGYNs, you know, make it out to be.
Well, and then weight training retrains in mm-hmm. proprioception and balance, so it's
right.
another reason to keep doing it while you're
right.
pregnant.
Right, right. Exactly. And we've just touched upon proprioception, and that's something that really helps you out during your postpartum phase. Even though postpartum, your muscles aren't responding well, you still have the rest of your neuromuscular system really toned up, ready to go. And that puts you so far ahead of the game. When I train women who have been physically active, and it doesn't, whether it's weight training, yoga, Pilates, dance, it could be anything. Those bodies, when they're ready to move again and they're doing the workshops, they come in and bam, they're off and running and they're progressing so much faster. Because of the proprioceptive response.
Yeah, because part of what you're training when you exercise is your neurological system. It's
right.
not just, and it's this whole thing of your brain says to do something and then your body responds, and there's a network of lines that need to be maintained.
Right.
It's like having sort of like having PG&E out there fixing them.
Yeah.
During the time. In the second and third trimester, you had indicated that women often will develop, not often, but sometimes develop carpal tunnel because
mm-hmm.
of the increased blood flow. And this is another thing that feels to me as though weight training could help with it. Am I missing the boat on this? Because there's this whole issue of the change in your head position, your shoulders and your arms. Isn't that part of what makes, is it just increased blood flow?
My understanding of the carpal tunnel is that it is an increased blood flow. Of course, we're getting into an area which, of course, has not been studied.
No.
And it's only recently been recognized that that women do sometimes develop carpal tunnel during pregnancy. And I don't know whether we can talk show this on the air, but well, there is a carpal tunnel test.
Okay.
And if you put the backs of your hands together with your fingers
pointing
down.
So if you can imagine the opposite of a prayer situation, if you were going to go into a prayer situation with your fingers pointing up toward the ceiling, what you want to do now is just rotate your hands so that the backs of your hands are together and you're pointing down, your elbows are up.
Right. And if you feel pain in this position, in your wrists, it's a positive indication of carpal tunnel.
I feel watch.
You feel your watch.
I'll try that without my watch on.
So what's important to get across here is that if you are a person that's at a computer a lot and you're in your second or third trimester and you're beginning to feel the wrist pain, the tingling, the numbness, this is not the time to say, oh, but I only have 3 weeks more of my job left. I'm just going to push on through. I got to get this project done. No. Take a break. Stop. This is a time to treat your body better than you have before. Most women post-pregnancy, the carpal tunnel will go away, but there is a small percentage where that carpal tunnel sticks around, and you know, it's so debilitating. You don't want to go there. You don't have to be a jock or a martyr about it. Take those breaks so that you don't develop a big problem.
It's the biggest problem with RSI injuries is people think, well, I'll just do it.
Right.
And that's the big mistake, because once you go past a certain point, you don't recover.
So. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And is it your sense also, since upper body strength and opposing muscle group, you know, strength is so important to prevent RSI, isn't it your suspicion as well that some weight training to keep, because you're as you pointed out in the very beginning, your whole posture, all the curves in your spine are changing, your head is going forward a little bit, huh?
Right. And
that's probably why heavier people get carpal tunnel more, you know?
That could be. Mm. So many of us don't sit with a nice neutral spine. We collapse in our bodies and we collapse at the computer, and that, you know, that chest just hunches over and those muscles get tighter and tighter and we put that pressure into the lower back. And this is where core training can really help you. If you have a strong, stable core, it's easier to just sit up straighter. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take that much work. The shoulders can be relaxed and down, and you can get in a good ergonomic position mm-hmm. while you work.
Yeah, shoulders back and down again. We've heard that from you before.
Boy, you bet.
Okay, so anything else during that last trimester that's really critical?
Right. The last part of this is the length in the ligaments.
Mm, this is when things start stretching.
Right. Things start stretching and stretching and stretching and stretching.
And why does that happen?
It happens because you have a hormone called relaxin. I love these names. Mm-hmm. Relaxin in your body. It prepares your body for childbirth. At the very end of pregnancy, the very tailbone, your coccyx, actually loses some of its curve and it gets out of the way. The ligaments of your pelvis soften so that when the baby comes through the in through the bones of the pelvis and then down through the birth canal, that those bones are soft and they have a little bit of a play, especially the right between your two pubic bones, the pubic sympathus, can actually open up and actually create a little more space for the baby's head to move through. Now, what happens when you're feeling really loose in the ligaments is that you might feel, for instance, if you are a jogger, that you just might feel like every time you jog, you're bang, bang, mm-hmm. okay? So great, you know, indication to stop. It's very obvious, and sometimes you get that pain in what's called your inguinal ligament, and it's a really sharp pain when that stretches out. So you know it. That's a stop sign. You stop.
You were pointing to just below your waist on your hip, right around the pelvic bone there. Huh?
Right. It's also called the round ligament. That tends to...
Yeah, that would be uncomfortable because that's close to your stomach. Yeah,
right. And that's where the baby is really putting all that weight. And this is where, if you like getting wet and you like swimming, and I admit that I don't. I think I was a cat.
I like swimming.
In my past lives, because I don't really like to get wet very much. Unless, of course, it's a hot tub.
You're one of those women that gets in the pool with a shower cap on
not
and sunglasses?
Quite as bad.
No, okay.
I'm the one that's in the shade.
Right. Yeah, avoiding the pool.
Saying, have fun, honey.
Yeah.
If swimming is something that you like to do, definitely get in that pool in that last trimester. What's nice about swimming is that it also uses your core muscles.
And how?
Because you're moving yourself, you're propelling yourself through the water, but what's holding you together, it's your core. Mm-hmm. So there's an exercise where no matter how big your belly gets, you can still use your core in a functional way.
You know, I prefer, and this may just be because I'm a swimmer, I prefer to see people swim rather than do water aerobics. Although if people will do water aerobics and won't swim, then I say do water aerobics.
Right.
But particularly because swimming, once you master it, is also a way of stretching out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are doing any weight training and you balance it with swimming, it's remarkable. It's stretching you out as you get contracted. The other thing is that one of the mistakes that people make in water when they're doing something like water aerobics, not often do I see this, but I see people make this mistake a lot, of walking in the water, walking in the shallow end. And it puts a tremendous drag on your hip flexors and on your hips and pushes against you. And people are very surprised when it hurts their back, so I don't recommend that. And I actually think, you know, people should experiment with swimming.
I agree. And that whole issue of the tightness of the hip flexors, because your pelvis tips to the back, it is actually hip flexion. And
because that's what happens when you lift your leg up, is your pelvis tilts.
Right.
That's
so instead of creating hip flexion by lifting your leg, your leg stays there and you actually flex from your spine.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen, sometimes you even see people using weights in the water, like ankle weights and stuff like that. And probably not the best way to go. Not appropriate during pregnancy.
As long as we mentioned ankle weights, I'm not a fan of ankle weights.
Neither am I.
Good. And the reason we don't like ankle weights, do you want to go since you're my guest? And I always get to shoot my mouth off. Do you want to say what you don't like about ankle weights?
Well, what I don't like about them is that when you're working with the force of gravity, you are just stretching out your ligaments, which is something that is definitely contraindicated during and after pregnancy. But even so, we want to stretch muscle. We don't want to stretch our ligaments. And it can, in many positions, put that stress on the ligaments, and that creates real dynamic instability in the body.
Now, we're not talking about if you want to use an ankle weight instead of using a weight machine because you're working out at home and you're trying to build. But my problem with them is more from the standpoint of physics and the balance of if you're working your thigh muscles and you've got a weight way out on your ankle, that distance causes a terrible problem with the knees and the hips and the things.
It can, yes, it can.
So not for walking. If you want to simulate weight training things with the ankle weight. All right, I can see that we're cascading down into the end here, and I want to make sure that you talk about, did you finish the third trimester?
Pretty much.
I want you to talk about postpartum.
Right. And what I want to talk about here is, I want to back up a little, because we just got into ligament length.
Mm-hmm.
And ligaments are what are called your body's passive restraint system.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding muscle bone to bone. Muscles are considered your active restraint system. They're under your voluntary control. After pregnancy, guess what? You have really, really long ligaments, and in certain muscles, really, really long muscles. So you lack both the dynamic and passive control systems in your body. So postpartum, you are at your most vulnerable to injury because of this unique condition in the body. And generally, the ligament length can last anywhere 8 to 12 weeks, though that's kind of what the literature says. I know that from talking to women and in my body, I felt long through the ligaments for a lot longer than 12 weeks.
So how do you fix that?
Through dynamic stability exercises. Mm-hmm. And that's really where you need to start when you're dealing with these true postpartum issues. You need to realign the spine and start training your muscles in a way that you can maintain good alignment during and through exercise is the most important thing.
So it goes back to training from the inside out.
Training from the inside out, exactly. There's a little known muscle in your abdominal wall called your transversus abdominis. And that's the one that goes across the belly. Sometimes it's called the waist cincher muscle. And this is a muscle that's really important to find and to learn how to use postpartum. There's a condition postpartum called diastole recti. And what that all means is that your rectus muscle, your abdominal rectus, it runs straight up and down. Mm-hmm. What most people don't realize is right in the midline of your body is not actual muscle tissue. It's connective tissue. And sometimes what can happen postpartum is those big stretched out abdominal muscles sag and bag to the side. Mm. That's a condition that you should be checked at your six-week mm-hmm. checkup. Do you have diastole recti? If you do, there are certain exercises that are contraindicated, and there are certain abdominal exercises which can help you knit back to the center.
Can you just say Poochie Waist?
Poochie Waist.
I mean, no one's going to remember. Anyway.
Poochie Waist Syndrome.
Yeah, I have Poochie Waist Syndrome, because I may not remember the term you just said. Okay, now, So, one of the reasons we're not going over what dynamic core strength exercises are is because it goes back to this thing of laying you on the floor and doing this whole show where we try to do stuff where we're showing you on the radio, which is difficult. But the concept is that you're training the underlayment muscles on the inside, starting with your gut and your lower back and all these places. Now, before we run out of time, we have a couple minutes left. I want you to talk about the body image crisis that women go through after pregnancy. And I'd like you to give your words of wisdom to women.
Well, this is huge, the body crisis after pregnancy, and it's a hidden issue. It's something that we're not really comfortable talking about. In my workshops, we can talk about, vaginal dryness. We can talk about anal fissure. We can talk about episiotomy scarring. But when clients talk to me about body image, it's always private. It's so hard to deal with, especially if you're a person who has a history of either an eating disorder, a body image, maybe a little bit dysfunctioning, or maybe at one time you were very heavy and unfit, or it just brings up so many deep-seated issues. And it's a very difficult, you suddenly find yourself, with a body that you do not want, and you don't fit into any of your clothes, and you won't for months. Mm. And it is just a really difficult thing for women to deal with.
And your words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom is to accept the fact that you have a mommy body. And this is something that nobody talks about. Everybody thinks, I'm going to get back into my jeans. Well, someday you will. But you go through a pregnancy body, and then you go through a mommy body. Your breasts will be larger than you ever were before. Your hips and thighs are going to be rounder. Your belly is round, and you have a mommy body. And your body doesn't want to give up its precious stores of fat. Your extra fat stores are like an insurance policy that you can get through drought, famine, you're going to be able to feed your baby. Mm-hmm. So you just have to say, okay, fine, this is my mommy body.
Yeah, certain letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Letting
Absolutely.
Go and being able to go through transitions and knowing that you'll learn new ways of keeping yourself fit in the future. And you look fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you.
You do. So it isn't that you have to have a mommy body forever. You don't have to be overweight forever or something like that. But there is transitional periods.
Right,
and
exactly.
You need to, yeah. Helene Byrne, give out your number twice again.
Okay. I'm in the 510 area code. It's 530-5710.
Once again.
That's 510-530-5710.
You've been a wonderful guest.
Oh, well, thank you.
People can call you directly for information on your classes and stuff. Well, thank you all for listening. If you missed part of today's show and you want to get a cassette copy for a loved one or something like that, you call my information number 24 hours a day. You can also get information on the show or me or whatever. 707-773-4727. 773-4727 in the 707. If you want to get on the web, delete www and type in members.aol.com/YOHAF, Your Own Health and Fitness. It's the initials, YOHAF. You can send me a self-addressed, double-stamped, business-sized envelope if you want to get a tape list for me. Be patient, please. P.O. Box 2714, Petaluma 94953. Next week, I'll be interviewing Professor of Cognition and Education, Howard Gardner, about his newest book, Intelligence Reframed, Multiple Intelligences for the 21st Century. Fascinating book. I'm Lena Berman. You've been listening to Your Own Health and Fitness, which is produced live in the studios of listener-sponsored Free Speech Radio. May it live forever. KPFA FM in Berkeley, California. I'll see you next week.